Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovius. Carolina Hurricanes back in action tomorrow, and the New York media is flabbergasted by one thing going into Game 1 and Game 2 this week. They can't believe it. I'll explain. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico. You got any number of ways that you can save on car insurance. You can call 1-800-947-AUTO, go online at geico.com, or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
Disturbing news from the Major League Baseball this afternoon. Former North Carolina pitcher Matt Harvey has been suspended 60 games for distributing, quote, a drug of abuse under Major League Baseball's drug program, the league announced on Tuesday. Harvey, who's pitching for the Baltimore Orioles, said in February he provided oxycodone to the late Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Harvey's admission in federal court came during the trial of Eric Kay, who was convicted on two felony counts of distributing the drug fentanyl that ultimately led to Skaggs' death. 60 games. Matt Harvey, who's 33 now. He was 6-14 last year with a 6.27 ERA with the Orioles. A stark fall.
I just hope that Matt Harvey gets to a place that he needs to get to.
Yeah.
Because, again, Matt Harvey, former Carolina pitcher,
was a huge star with the Mets early in his career.
Yes. I mean, I remember Adam Gold and I were doing a show at He's Not, and Matt Harvey was just hanging out. You know, Gold being the Mets guy, he wanted to talk to Matt Harvey about a few things
right
related to the Mets. But, yeah, I mean, his story really is one of just missed opportunity after missed opportunity because of his own doings. But, again, it gets back to a simple thing of hopefully he can get right in his life. Next up.
Number four.
On a lighter note, so, you know, I feel like a news broadcast where, you know, they just talk about some tragic event and then they're like, oh, and coming to Dorothea Dix Park is the Sunflower Festival. Like, it's a hell of a transition. But the large gas station superstore wars continue in the state of North Carolina. Wawa is coming to North Carolina. We knew this, but now we know where the first Wawa is going to be. The Kill Devil Hills board approved a Wawa site plan. It was unanimously approved. It'll include a 6,000 square foot convenience store, 8 gas pumps, and 52 parking spaces. Wawa operates more than 850 convenience stores. 600 of them offer gasoline in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Florida, and Washington. The chain is known for its built-to-order food, hot breakfast sandwiches, and other Wawa brand items. But yes, apparently the Outer Banks will get North Carolina's first Wawa, which makes a lot of sense because if it's going to be there in the Kill Devil Hills area, this is where a lot of people from Virginia are coming down because there's two parts to the Outer Banks, if you're familiar with the Outer Banks. There's the part that's on the show that's actually in South Carolina, and then there's the one where all the Virginia people come down to vacation. That's the two Outer Banks for you.
Well, it's easier to get to the Outer Banks from Virginia than it is from here.
Yes, it is.
Well, it is. Easier to get. Are you already going to make the joke, or can I make the joke?
Go ahead, Rand.
It's easier to get there from Chapel Hill because you can just take the ferry.
There it is. Season 2 is out right now?
Yeah, season 2's been out.
It's been out? I haven't gotten around to
watching it. Are you on the Stranger Things rewatch like I am?
No.
I will be because I need to figure out how the guy's not dead. My favorite character. He's like my favorite character like in all of TV.
Hopper didn't die.
He's in all the trailers.
But here's where we are.
I'm not talking about the trailers. I'm talking about what actually happened at the end of the series.
Yeah, well, you didn't watch. You did not watch the post-credits.
You don't get to write a letter.
Just saying, you didn't watch.
And he was in the jail. I get the whole thing. Yeah, okay. Russian. Talking about the American, but you don't write letters when you're not dead.
Gotcha.
You just don't do that.
So, the gas station convenience store wars.
Who are
wars.
You mad at, Big Game Boomer? I'm mad at the brothers, man.
The Tougher Brothers.
Come on. Why you got to do me like that?
So, Wawa was my first introduction into, like, these super convenience stores. Because my in-laws are from Delaware, and they always spoke highly of
South
Wawa.
South Jersey, Philly, Delaware.
That whole thing. So, the first time I went to a Wawa, it was all about getting Tasty Cakes and Hers potato chips. Now, Hers potato chips had some wild flavors.
Yes.
I mean, they had everything from, you know, steak sauce potato chips, ketchup potato chips. The crab chips are money, all right? Regardless. So that was my first introduction to, like, Hoagie Fest and everything else. But there's all sorts of them now. Like, up in the Delaware area, you can get a place called Royal Farms, which is tied to a chicken joint.
Mm-hmm.
So you get really good fried chicken there. You talk about the tender draft. I might actually take Royal Farms chicken tenders.
Are you a Sheetz person or no?
I will go to Sheetz.
Yeah.
I will go to Sheetz. My brother was super into the Sheetz made-to-order stuff, yeah, similar to Wawa.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Wawa's getting into town, but Buc-ee's is coming. Buc-ee's is actually, I believe, opening up their first one in Florence, South Carolina.
Not to be confused with Speedway becoming 7-Eleven.
No, that's a
Raceway becoming 7-Eleven.
That's a completely different thing.
Okay.
Which, there's not a lot of 7-Elevens in North Carolina. In fact, one of the two 7-Elevens within driving distance is in Nag's Head.
There's one in Greensboro.
Okay. Gotcha. So if you want to do 7-Eleven day, we got to go to Greensboro or we got to go to Nag's Head.
Okay.
But Buc-ee's is coming.
I don't know what Buc-ee's is.
So no, Buc-ee's takes the Wawa Sheetz 7-Eleven concept.
Yeah.
And
quick
gets
check.
You, it's like the Costco of gas station convenience stores. Dude, they sell everything from beef jerky, brisket. Shout out to Adam Eschbaugh and Wayne Holt, who hit the Buc-ee's in Florida, and they brought me Buc-ee's Vans slip-ons. Buc-ee's is about, like, the apparel. People have Buc-ee's shirts. You know, like, In-N-Out in California, like, you can buy T-shirts, and people wear their, like, seasonal In-N-Out shirts. Buc-ee's is the same thing. You see the little logo everywhere. So when I feel like we have to road trip to Buc-ee's when it opens up in Florence, South Carolina. Come back with a bunch of swag and give it away. We might have to do this. But yes, Wawa is coming, and I know that a lot of the transplants are hype about this. Next up.
Number three.
Well, I'm full of good news today in What's Trending, because you think losing in the Stanley Cup playoffs is bad. Well, Toronto Maple Leaf star Mitch Marner was carjacked Monday night outside a movie theater in Toronto, Joe.
What?
His Range Rover was carjacked while he was in it. Police in the Toronto area are searching for three suspects armed with two handguns and a knife who took off with Marner's black Range Rover outside of a movie theater.
Jeez,
at 7:46 on Monday night. Marner is okay.
That's good.
And the Leafs put out a statement saying as much, but he will not be commenting on the incident until the crime is solved. I mean, it's bad enough to play for the Leafs, right? In the playoffs. We've talked about this. They haven't won the thing since 67.
Yeah.
The next day, you're just trying to go to a movie theater. Like, this isn't even like a strip club after 2 a.m. This is Buddy is at
sure,
a movie
gas,
theater
or,
at 7:30
yeah,
at night.
Yeah.
Not even in, like, I mean, we're not even talking about, like, that kind of movie theater. Literally, a Cineplex Cinemas in Toronto. I mean, no respect for the Leafs.
Next up.
Number two.
I don't know if it's like a slow news week in the NFL. You know, people are still, I guess people are done with the grades for the draft last month. It's not entirely way too early to talk about next year's draft. I guess you got some, like, rookie mini camps that have opened up. Hey, Ike Ekwonu showed up in Carolina, and, like, people are hype about it. Matt Corral doing his thing with Carolina. So what was there to talk about? Well, there was Drew Brees. The former Saints quarterback spent last season with NBC Sports. He was in the studio for Football Night in America, the Sunday pregame show leading up to the Sunday game. I guess it didn't go well, or he didn't like it. There's some reports that he's not going to be back on set. It's entirely possible that he could be working games as an analyst, but not there on the Sunday Night Football set. So Drew Brees takes to Twitter.
He did two Notre Dame games with
NBC.
NBC and Mike Tirico.
Yes. So it's entirely possible he does that. So he takes to Twitter to address this issue, and he makes a joke. Mm-hmm. I guess he thought that his tweet was going to do some numbers. Instead, people took it seriously, because he said, along with, I don't know what my future holds. I could do pickleball. I could coach my kids. There's any number of things that he did, but he left a little nugget in there that said, I could play football again next year. This sent everybody into overdrive, because for some reason, people act as though Tom Brady is the norm rather than the anomaly. Well, Tom Brady's coming back, so why can't Drew Brees come back at his age? Well, because Drew Brees isn't Tom Brady, and his arm really is shot. Adam Schefter got on ESPN today to address some of that speculation.
Just because we got one quarterback to come out of retirement in the NFC South this offseason doesn't mean that we will get another prominent quarterback to come out of retirement and have Drew Brees follow Tom Brady. You heard Dennis Allen there say he thought the comment was in jest. And there haven't been any conversations between Drew Brees and the Saints about him coming back. Now, anything's always possible with a quarterback like Drew Brees, and no physical feat should ever be dismissed. But again, nothing on the horizon at this time with the New Orleans Saints, who are planning to have Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback this season, him coming back from the torn ACL last year. They've paid Jameis Winston like a starting quarterback. They've been cap-strapped and have found enough money to sign players like Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu. It'd be hard to find a way to come up to sign Drew Brees, although you always find a way for one of the greatest players, maybe the greatest player in franchise history.
No, you really don't. You really don't. This is kind of like my issue with the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. For starters, I don't understand why Cam Newton would want to come back to Carolina after how last year went, or how anything has gone with Matt Rhule at Carolina. Why would you want to do that to yourself, number one? Number two, as an organization, you have to tell the guy, no, we don't have to make room for you, the Hall of Famer. Just wait to get to the Hall of Fame. Buddy, you're just going to reset your clock. Do you really want to do that? Drew, you already did a year. Why do you want to reset the clock? You're going to the Hall of Fame. You're going to get fitted for your yellow jacket. It's all good. You're 4 years away. Stop it. But this is Jeremy Fowler gets on ESPN. He's asked about the chances that Drew Brees comes back, and he brings up Carolina. I'm like, why?
That arm looked shot. He had some shoulder issues late in his career with the Saints, 2020. Couldn't really deliver the ball downfield. Now we're talking, what, 16, 18 months later, he's going to be able to come back and do that. I'm just not so sure. I know he's Drew Brees. I know some teams are desperate, like the Carolina Panthers. Some others need a quarterback. But I'm just not hearing any buzz league-wide that something would actually happen.
So this is what I've come to the conclusion. This is my conclusion with this Drew Brees story of the week. The NFL has no funny bone. There is no sense of humor in the NFL. Drew Brees probably thought he was making a joke by throwing in that football thing as part of all sorts of things that he can do, including pickleball. And like me, I can relate to Drew Brees. Sometimes I tweet something that I think is going to do numbers, baby. And it gets like five likes. I go, oh. Sometimes I put a take on video thinking, Jillio,
this is hot.
This is hot video, baby. This is going to get like 10,000 views. Let's freaking go. And it gets like 800 views. I'm like, oh, that's too bad, right? Didn't take off like I thought it was. So I think that's what happened with Drew Brees. He thought he was going to slay. Oh, man, people are going to think this is great. I'm like Tom Brady making jokes, and it goes nowhere. And this leads to the other problem. Because the NFL has no sense of humor, like Adam Schefter, do you think Adam Schefter, if you tell Adam Schefter a joke, his brain can process a joke?
No.
Right. So that's where we are. This is why, like, the height of NFL comedy is Frank Caliendo, a guy who does a John Madden impersonation. Think about it. What is the funniest thing that you can do in the NFL? Imitate John Gruden? Of course, can't do that anymore. So what are you left with?
He does a decent Schefter.
Okay. A Mel Kiper impression?
Yes.
That's the height of NFL comedy.
Dad.
Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
Now, what I find the height of comedy is when large markets get to the playoffs and take a smaller market team on, and they think, this is it. Ready? You ready for this? All right. I got it. The New York Rangers are taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, based in North Carolina. I know what'll slay. Let's call them hillbillies. Nailed it! I remember one time, this was in 2002, during the Stanley Cup Finals, Carolina Hurricanes versus the Detroit Red Wings. Mm. Mitch Albom was doing radio in Detroit at that time. Mm-hmm. I was Adam Gold's producer at that point in time in 2002 for that cup run. And Mitch Albom thought he had totally owned us. Just owned, man, when he called us Mayberry. Ooh, let's make a topical reference to a show that most people don't even know anymore. So that's for the height of comedy, right? So here we are, getting ready for the New York Rangers.
That one, if I could just interject, that one hurt. I loved Mitch Albom, the writer.
Yeah.
Man, And he wrote some of those columns, and I'm just like, dude, for real?
So I had a comedy.
This is
there.
What you come up with? This is what you got?
This is the best thing. You're Mayberry.
Like, you're like the most talented. Well, he was the most talented sports writer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Insightful. Very good. Unbelievable. And he reduced himself to that.
Well, it all happens to us. I mean, yeah. Bill Simmons used to be the most topical dude on the planet. Like, oh, I'm going to tie something to The Sopranos. Edgy. And now he's trying to do the same thing. After a while, it falls flat. Hey, look, I got my own self-awareness, man. This is when I tweet sometimes and doesn't do numbers. I go, oh, the game has passed me by. I got to be more like Big Game Boomer and come up with a college football tier one that includes NC State. Now, that'll do numbers. Regardless, this is where we are again. Boston's making fun of the market, not even knowing where the hell we are, thinking it's Charlotte. And now we're in New York where they think it's funny to say hillbillies, even though, like, how many New Yorkers moved down here?
I have those numbers for you.
It's just funny to me.
Since 2006, 367,000 New Yorkers have moved to the state of North Carolina.
It's a substantial amount of people.
23,500 in 2019 alone, the last year the information was available.
So it's funny that SNY up in New York had a story about the geofencing for tickets at PNC Arena. I noticed this yesterday when I was buying tickets for game one tomorrow. It's my son's birthday. He wants to go to a playoff game. Just happens to coincide with his 11th birthday. So here you go, kid. Here's some tickets. But when I logged on to Ticketmaster to buy directly from the team because they hadn't sold out yet, it had this warning saying, hey, look, this is limited to people who live within North Carolina. And I thought, well, whatever, moving on. So SNY tweets this out. In an effort to prevent Rangers fans from entering PNC Arena, anyone outside of North Carolina has been barred from buying tickets to round two games between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. And this is like, oh, are you scared? Yada, yada, yada. Well, joke's on you. Because ain't nobody from New York really worried about this. You're here. You talk about all those New Yorkers who have moved here.
Yeah.
Rangers fans who want to go see game one and two will be able to see game one and two because they freaking live here. Okay?
Or they can watch it on TV.
Well, they can watch it on TV, but
if they're in Manhattan, they'll watch it on TV.
It's a larger point about this idea that this area doesn't feature transplants from just about anywhere. It makes for a unique environment in the building. We saw a bunch of Boston Bruins fans in the last round. It didn't matter if it was the Rangers or the Penguins in this upcoming round. There were going to be a lot of fans. Imagine if Philadelphia could get its freaking act together and met the Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs. All the Wawa people would be showing up with their tasty cakes, Old Bay seasoning, and Hers chips.
I don't want to mess around with Philly fans.
No. Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
No, thank you.
So this is just one of those cell phones that's coming from another larger market where, no.
This guy, the person who tweeted it, is the radio voice of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
What does he even know about hockey?
Well, wait a minute. How does that even work?
I don't
even because there's hierarchies in New York about like who you're fans of. Like, wouldn't a Mets fan be more of like an Islanders fan? Right? Isn't that how that works? Like, my understanding of New York.
Normally you're Mets, Jets, Islanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're Yankees,
Giants,
Rangers.
Rangers.
That would be my understanding.
Sure.
And who the hell are Devils fans?
I'm just
not New York.
No.
Not New York. Which gets to the other thing. I'm supposed to believe that New York Rangers fans in New York are actually going to leave Manhattan?
No.
They don't leave Manhattan. That's why I joked about the Brooklyn Bojangles advertisements. Oh, well, you know, Bojangles is coming to New Jersey. Again.
And?
What's your point? It ain't in New York.
You know you have to pay to get out, not to get in.
Right. People living in Brooklyn, people living in Manhattan, they ain't leaving their little island to go to Bojangles. They're not going to New Jersey, okay?
Oh.
So I just find that kind of funny. But we do this, and I don't know why we still do this in 2022 as though these markets aren't losing people by the day to come live down here.
Well,
you want to come here.
North Carolina, then it would be the next round, too, if the Rangers do win. I mean, Tampa or the Panthers.
I don't know.
The
Thunder and the Lightning. I just feel like we should come up with some new material to make fun of the area.
That would be too.
If anything, I think we should start flipping this, right? You know, like, shout out to our guy Streezy. He's like, you know, you guys should bring up things that that people in North Carolina do that's New York that's better than New Yorkers. Like, hey, Anthony at Oakwood Pizza Box, he's doing anything better than you can find in New York. He mentioned Randy's pizza better than New York pizza. I'm like, okay, cool. Actually, I think we should flip it. I think we should actually point out to New York, like, you understand that most of everything that you do is stuff that's ripped off from other places.
Anyway, yeah.
So you want to talk about what your real identity is. It's a melting pot. But all you're really doing is taking the stuff that we do pretty damn well, and you're trying to elevate it, and you say you perfect it. I mean, come on. It's not lost on me that David Chang, a very famous chef who does an excellent Netflix show, is just making Chick-fil-A sandwiches at like $20 a pop at this point. It's not lost on me that they're taking various styles of barbecue and trying to make it cool. No. A cool barbecue joint is a place that you find in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina, not a place that has the abandoned warehouse aesthetic and they give you sliced meats on a tin tray, because that's what they do. That's what they do now. That's like the height of barbecue in New York.
I still think we should open up a Little Raleigh somewhere in Manhattan.
What would we serve in the Little Raleigh?
Chicken sandwiches, barbecue.
It would have to be like the farmer's market where you have molasses
actually,
on the
I know.
Table.
What, wait, what could we? What cookout shakes could
That's what
we
I'm saying.
Commandeer as our own?
That's what I'm saying. A Little Raleigh would just be a cookout.
Right?
Shake Shack wouldn't know what to do. Like, wait, what?
And we'd sell some local beers.
Yeah.
Would we bump prices up or would the stay like
absolutely.
The... Yeah, no, you got to bump the prices
everything
up.
Will be bumped up.
Yeah, everything. I mean, we got to pay the rent.
We have cover charge. Charge for internet.
We need two contestants for You're Full of Agilio.
You get how many quesadillas?
Right. I was going to say, in the New York version of Cookout, the tray doesn't even exist. Everything is a la carte. And, yeah. Oh, you want 4 corn dogs? Well, it's $5 a corn dog. That would be the equivalent.
But if you ran it as efficiently as we would, people would pay for it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
That's the trick, man. Especially when they're drunk. That's when you get them.